There I am. Good evening. Like I said, they kind of all left and just left me with everything. So and that was, didn't know I was doing prayer requests. Didn't know I was singing. Kind of all surprised. I didn't know I was preaching. Glad they let me in on that one. But it's been a great week so far, and having the boss out and everything, it's been kind of different. He left me a list, and it's piled this high. He said, when I get back, I hope it's done. I said, I hope it is too. This is a lot there, but I know they're out, and Brother Wiggins is preaching and enjoying that, and that's great for him. And I know my dad is really enjoying getting to be out with some preachers and sharpening himself and really just kind of learning some new things, but also getting some advice from some older preachers and things like that, and it's been a blessing to him. Well, like normal, it is an honor to preach from this pulpit, and I'm scared to death to preach to adults. I'm used to fourth graders and teenagers and all that. That's more my area, teach bus and stuff like that. But adults, y'all make me nervous. But we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We have a revival meeting coming up this Sunday. I'm excited. I got a little bit put in charge of that, sort of. Like I said, they kind of throw some stuff on me, but I've enjoyed it. It's been a learning experience, and it's been a help. But I am excited about this coming up Sunday, Brother McCracken. And I know Pastor, my dad, gave us this challenge Sunday, and he preached on how we can prepare and how we can get revival. And he mentioned a couple of things, and I want to kind of revisit some of this. He mentioned that prayer brings revival. Mentioned that a revival costs something. We know the cost of revival, it requires a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of us taking time out of the day to pray to God, to read our Bible, to prepare our hearts for this revival. Talked about fasting brings revival, and how we're also to pray, but we're also to fast, and some things come only in fasting. And I thought, that's awesome. You took everything away from me. I mean, I got nothing else to preach on. But as I kept going, I kept reading into it. God brought this verse to me, and it's actually a verse I used in a devotion at camp. And it was a blessing to me, I know, and it really woke me up in a way. But like I said, honor to preach here, honor to be here. And let's dive into the Word tonight and see what God has for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34, and it says, "Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Only looking at one verse tonight, a little bit different, but one verse, and we're going to pick out just three things, three areas of our lives that Paul addresses in this verse. Now, Paul is writing this, of course, to the Corinthians, the church there. And what's going on in this Corinthians church is there's a lot of sin in the church. And they've gotten their doctrine a little backwards, and they're doing things in the church that are obviously wrong, but they're doing it in the way that they're dismissing it by being wrong, by saying they're doing it in their body and not in their spirit. And they're saying it's fine that they do it in their body because their body's sinful, but it's not affecting their spirit, which is absolutely wrong, and we know that. But they were confused, and so Paul is writing them, trying to get them back on the right track, and he's rebuking them for their sin and telling them to wake up and look what you're doing and it's wrong. And he's just trying to get these guys back on track. I know Paul is speaking to the church here, but I think as a whole, maybe as a church, we could probably take a lot of this as a whole and use it, and it would be great. But I like to make the Bible personal. I always tell people, you know, the Bible's a personal Bible. When I tell someone about salvation, I say, this is a personal book. This is for you. This was written to you, not just to the church. And so tonight we're going to make this a little personal because revival's personal. And revival doesn't come, it doesn't start with the church. It starts with you, dad, and you, mom, and you, child, grandparents. It starts in my own heart. It doesn't start with a group necessarily, it starts within yourself. And it has to be your choice. We see here that Paul's talking to them, and he's talking about this word. He brings it in, and he says, awake, awake. We learned the other night that there's another word for that, and that's revive, revival, to awake. An instance of something becoming active or important again. Tonight you'll make a choice in your own heart to awake and see the need in your own life and in the need around you. And you're going to choose to either awake to it or stay in your sleep and ignore it. The Bible is very clear in this area, and you can't help but just ignore it or wake up to it. So we're going to take just a look at these three areas. The first area we're going to look at is the first part of the verse. It says, awake unto righteousness. Well, what does righteousness mean? I've heard righteousness explained as a couple things. I've heard it explained as right clothing. Right clothing. I've also heard it said as right living. And I think it fits both. I think very well it fits both. Right clothing, in the instance we're talking about, I'm not talking about your actual clothing, obviously, not your physical clothing, but your spiritual clothing. And I'm talking about, are you clothed in your own righteousness, or are you clothed in Christ's righteousness? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, it says, but we are all as unclean thing, and our own righteousness are as filthy rags. So we know that our righteousness is nothing, but we know that when we accepted Christ as our Savior, that we took on Christ's righteousness. And it's not our own. It's not God. He looks down and sees Caleb and Caleb's righteousness and what Caleb can do. But he looks down and sees Jesus Christ and Christ's righteousness. So I say the first step to revival is revival cannot be brought without the right clothing. Revival cannot be brought unless you're saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our sin, in spite of our sin, because of our sin, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, why do I say that? Why do I even bring that up to the choir tonight? Sometimes it's good to remind us that it's not our righteousness. Amen. Sometimes it's good to remind us it's not what we do. It's not the Sunday school class that we teach. It's not the message that we preach. It's not the song that we sing, but it's all Christ. Amen. And what he did. It's all because of Jesus. It's nothing because of us. Look tonight, the second thing. And I'm kind of famous for my short sermons. So, second thing is, revival cannot be brought about without the right living. I talked about, secondly, that I've heard it said as right living. That's pretty self-explanatory, right living. I can tell you tonight, there's not a lot of right living going on today. We see it all around us. We see America and the way it's going, and we see no one has respect for God, and sin is accepted and even praised. Immorality has become the norm. It's not anything out of the ordinary to see it going on. Quote, baseball used to be America's pastime. Immorality is now America's pastime. Sad truth. You say, Caleb, it's terrible. I mean, why do you want to remind us of that? Well, it's because it's our fault. It is the sad truth. America has gotten to this terrible state because at some point in our history, sin came in and the Christians stood by and watched. But it didn't just stop there, and it kept going. And instead of just standing by, now Christians are participating in the same sin. It's no longer a stand for anything. There is no right living. Everything's relevant. There are no absolutes. And Christians are not only standing by, but they're participating in it. Amen. Christians go and be a part of the world, and they'll go to the bar on Saturday and come to church on Sunday. Preacher will preach on revival, and they'll sit right next to you and amen. There's no conscience there, it seems. None whatsoever. And you ask, why is America in the state it's in? It's because we have Christians that are absolutely hypocrites. Nobody's perfect. I understand that. Like Paul is saying to this Corinthian church, he's saying, look what you're doing. You're no different than they are. I say to you tonight, there are some of us tonight that are no different than they are. Christ said, there are some without the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. There's a reason for that, and that's because they don't see Him in us. All they see is a mirror image of themselves, only with the title Christian on your name. God's looking for some Christians that'll stand up, who will live rightly, who will do right in spite of what the world does. I'm going to pull out something. This is something they talked about at camp. Y'all heard the illustration. An open bag. You're saying you're still in the illustration. Well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. It's just going to work. But we're talking about right living. And yeah, some of us come to church and we dress up real nice and look the part. And some of us, you know, for the most part, are very good. You know, we do try to live right. We do try to be a witness. But there's always something in our lives, that little secret compartment that we're not quite ready to give up. And God's calling for us to live rightly in such a way that when people look into our lives, look into our bag, that all they can see in there is not Caleb Crawford. They don't look into me and they don't see Caleb Crawford. They see Christ and what He did. They see Christ and His righteousness, His right living, not Caleb's. And so I'll go through in my life and I'll have times where, God, yeah, you know, you got that area in my life. You have my phone. It's all yours. It's yours, the computer, everything. God, you got me. I mean, I'll be faithful to visitation and church. And here, I'm opening up more. This is more going to you. God, I think I can give that over to you. I can give that one. God, my parents, maybe I can just keep that one shut a little longer. God, those friends I have at work, it's only hurting me. It's not that big of a deal. God, what I'm doing in my spare time that no one else sees, that's me. That's my deal. Don't worry about it. There's nobody else going to see it. But the fact is, when you close a part of your life to God and you don't give Him everything, He can't use you in every way He would have use you. When people look at you, yeah, they may see you all dressed up, and they may see you're doing fine, but let me tell you, these things that are hidden in your bag, eventually, they're going to come out. What is done in secret, I will reveal openly. This is a time bomb, as the preacher at camp described to us. This is your life, and when you close things to God, you're just waiting for it to go off. God wants to use you. He wants to use your life. And you're saying, Caleb, what's so wrong with doing just a little bit? Well, it starts out that way. And you have something and some sin in your life, and you're like, oh, that's not a big deal. And you just tear a little bit at your life there. And then you keep going, and, you know, like I said, those friends, they're not that bad. It's just every once in a while I hang out with them. And you keep going, and you kids, you talk back to your parents, and you say, ah, it's just my parents. It doesn't really matter if I talk back to them. Teenagers and college students and everyone. Hey, what I have on my cell phone, my computer, that's my own business. That's whatever I want. And you keep tearing away at your life with sin until you're almost left with nothing, and God can't use you at all. Right living, righteousness, Christ's righteousness. We say we're Christians and we're covered in Christ's righteousness, and yet we live the exact opposite. Our bag is sealed off from God, and we keep it to ourselves, and yet we come to church and cry for revival. This is not an easy message to preach. I know it wasn't an easy message for me to study, because every time I keep digging deeper and deeper, God keep pricking and pricking more and examining my own life. But it's something that we have to overcome before we can ever see true revival. Wouldn't it be something if we just got a hold tonight and we awoke and we said, God, I'm giving over fully to You, and You have every bit of my life, not just the big parts that everybody can see, but every little secret too. What if we could start revival tonight instead of having to wait until Wednesday or Sunday? What if revival could start tonight, and instead of us having to get ourselves right Sunday, we could be witnessing to our neighbors and bringing them and having them get right? What if tonight we just decided that, you know, God, I know I've done wrong, and I know I don't have too much left, but God, will you just please use this little bit? This little bit I have left. You know, it's amazing with God, He'll use anything, and He'll use anyone. And He doesn't matter how much, how little, He can still use you in a mighty way if you'll just give yourself fully to Him. See, next, though, in the verse, we see that the world looks on us, the world is lost. We said again, it's to our shame, if revival is not taken seriously, it's going to bring you some serious shame. I always think of head, and when I was thinking of this, I was thinking forward, and I was thinking about one day we're going to stand before God, and one day we're going to see, He's going to judge us for what we did, and I can see one day standing there as He's casting those who are names not written in the book, and He's casting them into hell, and I'm watching as He does this, and knowing that their sin and their unbelief is what got them there, but wondering if what if my sin was what kept them there? What if because I chose not to wake up and because I just kept my bag closed, that's the reason they stayed there and I could have made the difference? The world will never know, though, unless you have your bag open and your life is open for examination, that they can look on you and look in you and see there's nothing in you but Christ. There's nothing of you, but it's all Christ. See, because the world is not looking for a description of our faith, but however it'll be impacted by the demonstration of our faith. It's not looking for another Christian that has the title Christian and lives the other way on the weekend and during the week, who says the same things they do and the same words they do at work, who goes to the same places as they do on the weekend, and the only difference is he comes to church and dresses nice on Sunday. Say, Caleb, we're here on Wednesday. We're the good crowd. Yeah, like I said, when I was studying this out, I thought I was the good crowd. And then I found out it was just Caleb. And Caleb's not good at all. And that Caleb needs God and His righteousness on his life every day. And that Caleb needs to be completely covered, fully covered daily. It says that we're to die daily. To die daily and take up the cross and follow Him. Are you awake yet? Are you awake? Every head bowed and every head closed. We're going to go ahead and pray. Like I said, I'm never long. I never am. I always like to get straight to the point. And tonight the point was very sharp, but very serious. I ask you tonight, you say, Caleb, you preached about a little bit of salvation there. Well, I did that because this is a crowd that pretty good size, and I don't know your hearts, and there may be somebody that's been faking this whole time, or somebody who's never just trusted Christ as their Savior. And I ask you tonight, if that's you, you come forward and get that settled. If you want a true revival in your heart, the best way to start revival and the best revival you'll ever have is salvation. I ask if you have right living, if your heart's right, if you're clean, so God can use you. He can't use an unclean vessel. He may use your talents, but He won't use you. I want God to use me. I know you want God to use you. Are you ashamed? There's been some things in your past that you look back on and you know you missed the opportunity because you were in sin and you missed it. Come lay your shame down at the altar. God will forgive it. Come up from this moment forward and just say, I'm going to give it all to God. I'm just going to go forward. I want to see revival. I want to see something happen. I don't want to see America in this state. I don't want to see my life and my family in this state anymore. Dear Lord, we come to You tonight and just thankful for an opportunity to come to You, Lord. We come with a heavy heart, Lord, knowing that it's such a serious subject, Lord, and that if we would just grab a hold of it, we would wake up to this, that so much could be changed. So many lives could be changed. Lord, I know the consequences, though, if we don't. In America, our families, and our church, we'll suffer for it. Lord, help us to live holy lives and righteous lives and live in your Son with open bags and open lives that others can see your Son in us, that when we one day when we stand before you, we won't be ashamed. Lord, be with this invitation. I pray this all in your name. Jesus, amen.